vehicles involved in that. One of them was blocking the roadway, but that now appears to have been cleaned up. In Santa Cruz County, southbound Highway 1, just north of Airport Boulevard, this would be outside of Watsonville, a traffic collision with an ambulance responding, just reported by CHP. Looks like a vehicle versus a guardrail. And someone on the roadway, northbound Highway 1, just south of Morrissey Boulevard, that too is in Santa Cruz County, reported at 10:03. The number to call in with your traffic tips is 475-1080. Coming up next, hour number one of the Saturday special with your host, Michael Zwirling.
That's the first time I haven't been called MZ in ages.
Well, I try to keep it different.
Good. How are you, Dave?
I'm all right.
You sound terrific.
Thank
so,
you.
We're going to have quite a show today with all kinds. It's sort of a hybrid show. All kinds of things are going to be happening here. So we're going to start off with a candidates forum. We have State Assembly 27th District candidates, Bill Monning and Ellie Black. And I'm at KSCO North, so I can't see anybody, but it's my understanding that Ellie is at the studio and Bill is on the phone. Is that right? Hello? All right. Well, we'll just start the show anyhow, okay? One, two, three.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Okay.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSVO Radio.
Okay, indeed. Welcome, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, to KSCO's Saturday special, hour number one thereof. On your favorite radio station, we're going to be on the air right up until 12 noon. And you are invited to participate. You can do that by getting on the phone and calling us at 479-1080 in area 831. We've got a whole lot of things for you to chip in today. So stay with us, and we hope to hear from you.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Okay, I believe, Dave, you have the promo.
Yeah, you ready to fire it?
Yeah, let's go for it. Well, it's been quite a week around your favorite radio station. Two sold-out KSCO events with the number one internet audio and video personality in the world and all the excitement that goes with it. A congressional candidate's Saturday special forum in which Sam Farr heard the current K's anti-Obama commentary and charged her with promoting toxic talk. And our staff, led by Rosie Chalmers, pulled everything off without a hitch and with stunning success. Our staff is the best, bar none. So what do we do for an encore this Saturday? Well, we could analyze the latest vicious voicemail attack on Kay from a cowardly caller who threatens to urge a boycott of KSCO in her high-traffic neighborhood. Or we could have a debate between Assembly candidates Ellie Black and Bill Monning. Or have a talk with Sheriff Mack on the next KSCO special this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Shucks, We Might As Well Do It All Radio, AM 1080 KSCO. All right, let's just jump right into it and not take too much time. I'll introduce Ellie Black, who I believe is at KSCO Studios. Ellie, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Oh, welcome to KSCO. Good to hear your voice here. And let me bring Bill Monning on, who's on the telephone here, and lock him in. Bill, you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Ellie.
Good morning, Bill.
Well, welcome back to KSCO, Bill. We hear from you periodically, I think, with Rosie in the morning. Let's see, you've run quite, I'm going to turn the music off. Let's turn the music off. Enough music already. Bill, you get an A for persistence, because I know you ran a number of times before you were successful about 2 years ago, and now you're running for your second term as a state assembly member. Am I right?
That's correct. Ran in 93 and 94, and then circled back in 2008 and was successful.
All right. Now, Ellie, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then I'm going to give you both a couple of minutes to make your own speech about why people should elect you.
Born and raised in Santa Cruz, lived here my whole life. And I'm one of those people that rather than complaining about how things are going, I want to get out there and do something about it. My background is in business and natural health, and I feel like I have the skills necessary to take care a lot of the problems as far as technical issues go with finances and budgeting and all that. In addition, I do have the experience for caring about health and the environment and all those things as too. So I kind of have the best of both worlds going for me.
Terrific. Okay. Why don't we start the official talk, official speech here. Bill, why don't you go ahead and take the mic. You're on.
Okay. Well, again, Michael, I want to thank you and KSBO for the opportunity to join you this morning and the opportunity to talk to voters in the 27th Assembly District. And I will start with a respectful request for people to consider re-electing me to another term. I was elected in 2008, and during my first term, our state unfortunately was not spared the impacts of the worst recession since the Great Depression. A lot of our work was held in extraordinary sessions. Those are not regularly scheduled sessions. Trying to find a budget solution last year to a $41 billion deficit. We've just completed a 2010-11 budget agreement that involved bridging a $19 billion gap. There's not a program in the state that hasn't been hurt by this recession. Our revenue engines have dropped 30%, and we've had to make the best of a very bad situation. Amidst the budget storms, I take pride in some of my accomplishments in my first term. I've been appointed to chair the Assembly Health Committee, and we're working to try to conform California to take maximum opportunity from the federal health care reform. We've succeeded already in positioning California for eligibility for young adults up to 26. If their parents have a health care plan. We've also just put in place in this last week the what's called the Mr. MIB Fund for people with a pre-existing condition who are denied health insurance between now and 2014. There'll be a pathway for them to secure insurance pending the 2014 reform. At the local level, I've been successful in sponsoring and legislation, winning support in both houses and securing the governor's signature. One of those is on a land transfer involving De La Viega Park, transferring some of what had been state land to the city of Santa Cruz to expand recreational opportunities in De La Viega Park. I also had signed into law the sustainable seafood label legislation, which creates for fishing community in the Monterey Bay something similar to the organic label for produce. This will allow catch that has been caught using sustainable methods to be still labeled at the wholesale, retail, and restaurant levels. That's being implemented as we speak. And then in Monterey County, but for the whole Monterey Bay, I'm the sponsor of legislation to establish the California Veterans Cemetery at the former Fort Ord. There's no veterans cemetery in our region. The closest one is in the Central Valley. And we have over 100,000 veterans and veteran families living in the greater Monterey Bay area. So we're pushing forward to try to establish that. The land has been identified, and working with both the federal government and local veterans organizations, I'm quite excited about trying to establish that final resting place for people who have served our country.
That's great, Bill. Thank you. It's about the end of the 2 minutes here. We want to keep the show rolling because we want most of the format to be call-in questions from the listening audience. By the way, the phone number, if you want to participate, and I would start calling now, is 479-1080 in area 831. So if you want to ask a question, questions, not comments, please. We don't want any speeches from members of the audience. Give us a call at 479-1080 if you want to ask a question of candidates Ellie Black or Bill Monning. But go ahead, Ellie. Tell us why you should be elected instead of Bill.
Yes, thank you. Having the background that I do in business, and especially the budgeting and keeping businesses in business in a time like this, is something that I think is very, very valuable, and it's actually appalling to me and very frustrating to see what's going on in Sacramento, because coming from somebody who does accounting and bookkeeping and finance and payroll for a living, it's almost as if everything that's being done in Sacramento is the absolute opposite of what should be done for a business to run successfully, and the same goes for the state. So my background in the private sector, I think, is something very important. I've been a business owner, private business owner, since 2000, and my own personal success story and just my taking initiative to get things done. I managed to buy a house by myself in Santa Cruz before the age of 25, and that's something that for anybody who lives in this area probably understands what a significant achievement that is.
I sure do.
And so that's something I'm proud of. And granted, I was warned, you're going to lose it. You need two incomes to buy real estate. And I said, well, tell me I can't do it, but I'm going to do it. And I did it. And managed to keep my business going even through the recession that we are in. And actually have been doing quite well. And since I've been running for office, I haven't really had time to work much. But because of my skills, I am in high demand. And I think that speaks well of my skills.
Okay.
Am I at my 2 minutes?
No, a little bit more.
Just okay. Being a community member for so long and being connected with so many aspects within the community, especially the natural health community, is something that I am making amazing connections since running for office. People are very thrilled to have somebody who is an advocate for organic food and natural supplements and willing to stand up and protect those. And I've been an active in the fight against fluoride in Watsonville, as well as active in the smart meter issue right here in Santa Cruz. And those are things that our community in this area seems to be really stepping up and getting involved in as well. And that's one of the comments I'd like to make, is that I'm just a person. A candidate is simply a person who steps forward, but a candidate is nobody without the public, and I feel I have the public support.
Okay, thank you, Ellie Black. You're listening to the Saturday special, hour number one thereof, on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. My name is MZ. Dave Michaels is the pilot in command at the controls. And you're invited to participate on this candidates forum for California State Assembly 27th District. The incumbent Bill Monning is on with us, and his challenger, Ellie Black. Give us a call at 479-1080 if you want to ask questions of either of or both the candidates. We'll start our calls with Joe in Carmel. Joe, welcome to the Saturday special. You're on the air.
Hi. I understand the state budget is $86 billion. This year, I want to know where the state's going to get the money, what the state's going to do if it falls short, especially by a lot, and then what happens.
Okay, you're directing this to one?
Both of them.
Both of them. Okay, go ahead. Bill, why don't you answer first?
Well, I'll start. We've been grappling with a budget crisis ever since I was elected. I hope there's not a causal connection there. We are going to face tough times in the budget years ahead. What we've grappled with, when I started in elected office in Sacramento, the state budget was $105 billion. It's been cut to $82 billion, and yet our commitments to public education, to public safety, to health care, to safety net programs, to highways, those don't drop by 30% when the revenue engines drop by 30%. So we've been forced to have to make very difficult cuts, and we're going to have to continue to whittle down the budget. People say there's too much fat in government, there's too much pork. There has been such tremendous cutting. As a member of the legislature, I've taken a voluntary cut in pay. We've also cut back administrative costs in the legislature. But those costs are a drop in the bucket compared to our funding commitments to public education. And for Californians, the real question is, what kind of state do we want to live in? What are we going to do to balance the budget in a manner that is equitable?
Well, and is right there now a real chance of bankruptcy?
Unfortunately or unfortunately, states cannot declare bankruptcy. They could declare insolvency. I think Californians are going to opt for options that prevent us having to declare insolvency. Prop 25 on the November ballot would allow us to pass the budget with majority vote, like 49 other states. There's 47 states that pass the budget and raise revenues with a majority vote. Prop 25 would lower the threshold to pass the budget majority vote. The majority of Californians have elected majorities to both houses. I say let that majority deliver a budget on time to the governor. And if the people don't like the architecture of that budget, every 2 years they can pass judgment on members of the Assembly, every 4 years on members of the Senate.
Okay, thank you, Bill. We need to keep it moving. So go ahead, Ellie, answer that question, please.
Yeah, I'd like to address some of the typical bills that were passed through the Assembly in August. And this might give an example of where some money is being wasted and where these things can be cut out. And I think that the listeners will see this. There was a bill that recognizes September as Pain Awareness Month. Another bill was passed to add members to the Massage Therapy Organization's Board of Directors. There was another bill that tells daycare facilities what drinks they can and cannot serve children. Now, this may sound really good, but this is way micromanaging.
Is it wasting time, or is it wasting time and money?
Oh, it's not as if these people who come up with these things are working for free. Each one of these things.
So this is to fund nonprofits. Is that right, Bill? Is that your understanding too?
None of those, the three that Ellie just mentioned, none of those involve state allocations. There's no legislation that makes it through the Appropriations Committee that has a price tag on it. There is no money. The state has no extra revenue.
Okay.
Every budget bill that was passed is to protect vital programs. An awareness week, an awareness day, part of our role as civic leaders is to put a spotlight on ways that people can reduce teen pregnancy, reduce alcoholism, reduce drug abuse. That is an important function as leaders in our community, to put a spotlight on work that people are doing.
Okay,
and
these are important
things. Right now, unemployment in California is at 12.4%. That's the official rate. This official rate is 3 points higher than the national average. And with California's economy being so large and so diverse, this makes no sense. This high unemployment can really only be explained by the business climate and the waste in Sacramento.
Okay.
And so these bills are not, while they may not appropriate money, they are requiring the time and therefore the money of our representatives as taxpayers, and maybe that time could be better spent in other areas, such as looking at how to improve our business climate.
Bulk of my time has been spent on trying to reconcile the budget crisis, trying to improve health care, which is a tremendous expense in this state. There's no way we're going to reduce health care costs if we don't work on prevention, health education.
Can I just get a prediction?
Yeah, Joe, real quick here.
Yeah, I just want to get a prediction from each of them, whether the state will declare bankruptcy and when.
Or insolvency. Go ahead. Just yes or no and when. Ellie, what do you think?
Well, I would certainly hope not. Everything I'm doing now is to prevent that and bring the public's awareness so that there is a general dissatisfaction.
So you don't think it's going to happen?
So,
of course, we all hope.
I'm crossing my fingers it doesn't happen. What I'm seeing out there in this district is that the public is beginning to pay attention, and I think once we have the public's attention, things will change for the better.
Bill, you're certainly, as our current assemblyman, you're certainly not going to predict an insolvency.
No, I'm not.
I'm not even going to ask you. I'm not going to take any time. Thank you, Joe and Carmel. Craig in San Jose, it's your turn. Welcome to the Saturday Special. Let's keep this thing moving.
Hey, MZ.
Hi.
Hey, and happy Halloween to all.
Thank you. Come on, we got to keep moving.
Okay. So the illegal aliens, they walk into the emergency room like they own the place, and they don't pay anything at the hospital. And then they walk out like they own the place, laughing at the dumb moron gringos on the way out. By the way, I don't blame them. I'd do the same thing. I'd be laughing, too. But do you like this policy, and should it continue? And shouldn't they at least pay a few bucks out of their work or their welfare check for emergency room use like this when everybody else has to, you know, pick up the meal ticket?
Yeah, okay, great question. Why don't you answer it, Ellie, first?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's in my opinion, outrageous that someone who is not in this country legally and is not contributing to our economy is able to receive better benefits than those who are here legally, and in addition to that are actually receiving money in the form of welfare and all the other benefits, housing assistance and things like that. So this is an issue that needs to be addressed on many levels. It's not about race. It's about what's fair and what's right and what's legal.
Okay. Bill, what do you think about this?
Well, first of all, I question anybody who stereotypes a class of people as those people and say they're all engaging in some kind of common activity of accessing emergency room medical services and laughing about it. First of all, a couple of corrections. An undocumented worker working in our community is contributing to our economy. They are not eligible for welfare. They are not eligible for housing assistance. They are not eligible for food stamps. And most stay away from social service programs for fear of being identified and facing deportation. On the positive side of the ledger, undocumented, our two highest employers in our Monterey Bay region are agriculture and hospitality tourism. And most of the backbone of that workforce is migrant, immigrant workers of varying degrees of legal status. There are citizens, there are green carders, and certainly there are those that are undocumented. But every paycheck, there's payroll tax being taken out, there's Social Security being taken out, and that is keeping our Social Security system in the black at the federal level. That's been documented by Republican administrations, that the contributions of undocumented workers that get taken out of their paycheck that they will never draw on are keeping our Social Security system in the black. And I challenge anybody to present evidence to the contrary of that statement.
Okay. Great. Now we're going to move on to our next caller. By the way, there are a couple of lines open at 479-1080. So if you think that you can't get in, wrong, you can. So call right now, 479-1080 in area 831. Annalise in Soquel, you're on the air on KSCO.
Is this Annalise that you called?
Yes.
Okay, just I didn't hear the name. I would like to address this question to Ellie Black. Ellie Black, you had said you are concerning, you have concern for the health care initiative and that your focus is in holistic health care. I would like to know, since you mentioned smart meters, how you can help to protect, how do you actually plan to protect the citizens against the continued progression of installation of the smart meters and to offset all the negative health care issues that are in the health care reform bill, which most Californians are against. In fact, nationally, there is a greater majority of people that are against the health care initiative than for it. Okay, how do you plan to protect your public?
Go ahead, Ellie.
I hear two questions, one about smart meters and one about the health care initiative, the national health care. Correct me if I'm wrong.
As opposed to holistic health care.
Yes. So as far as smart meters go, I'd like to let the audience know that the smart meter mandate was passed 4 years ago. 4 years ago, it was still considered to be kind of a fringe element who considered cell phones and microwave technology to have a health concern or health hazard associated with it. Now that has changed dramatically. European countries and many other places, and even here, you will see now warnings on cell phones and other wireless devices specifically citing possible health concerns. So I would say that if this smart meter mandate had been introduced now rather than 4 years ago, there would have been a huge public outcry about it, because it would not, the public is too aware, and that's why the public is stepping forward about it. As far as what I will do about it, given the opportunity to get into office, I will work to repeal the smart meter mandate and stop forcing these on people's homes. And there are also issues about, even if someone doesn't have it on their home, does someone, their neighbor have it on their home, as, and is affecting their, you know, house just simply because it's nearby. And these are things that we're going to have to look at, and as the dangers of wireless technology become more known and more respectable and less of a, as I said, fringe element, I think that will be easier to do, and we just need to keep working on it, and we just need to keep presenting the public with more and more information so they can begin to make their own decisions. As for the health care bill, the national health care bill has a lot of issues. I obviously have not read the entire thing. I don't know of anybody who has, but it seems like I'm always hearing about new unrelated items that are stuffed in that bill.
Yeah.
I'm completely against that bill for many reasons. First of all, it is atrocious to me that I should be forced to purchase anything or be fined. It's way out of line. The welfare clause in the Constitution certainly was not intended to have this type of far-reaching jurisdiction, period. And I really encourage anybody who has any questions about what the federal government should and should not have control over as far as our personal lives and personal decisions to check out a book called Nullification by Tom Woods. It's an amazing book, and it really gives people tools to think about what to do in the case of a far-reaching governmental control, federal governmental
Ellie,
control.
Ellie, we got to move on now. Thank you.
Can I comment on those two issues?
When people are talking and directing just to one particular candidate,
well,
I want to let them do
supposed
that.
To so. Be a candidate forum. I would think listeners would want to know my views on okay. those.
No, I wanted to know her views.
Okay.
But you don't want to hear what I think on these issues.
Because I can gather where you're going.
I would like to put one thing in there really quickly. The nullification is about the 10th Amendment Constitution of the United States.
The federal court has just upheld under the Commerce Clause the legitimacy
I was asking Ellie Black.
Cost of health care. Well, do listeners want to know what's going on in this country?
I'm the listener, and I'm
I would
one
like to point
questions.
Out.
Hold on a second,
this
gang.
A forum for
okay,
Ellie
let's
to,
talk.
She believes.
Here, wait a second, Bill. Listen, here's the way we're going to run it, okay? There are going to be people who are going to call and ask you questions and not be interested in Ellie's answers. So, since I'm running the show, I'm going to decide what the rules are, okay? So we're going to move on, and the next caller is going to be Thor in Monterey. Thor, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. I actually met Ellie at the Alex Jones show, and I was very impressed with their positions on the...
I think you want to talk about smart meters. I believe Ellie has been asked about smart meters. Why don't you ask Bill about smart meters?
Yeah, I was actually going to change, and since that's already been kind of addressed, I wanted to see what the candidates' positions were on water fluoridization. But I guess if Bill wants to give his what he would do about smart meters as well, I would like to have him have the opportunity as well.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity. Let me tell you what I'm doing about smart meters. As the chair of the Assembly Health Committee, I've requested a thorough review of health data by an independent commission on science and technology. There's three critical issues related to health, related to smart meters. One issue is the accuracy of the meters. The other is the protection of confidentiality. And the third, and I think of greatest concern for our area, is potential adverse health effects from the smart meter. I feel our action should be based on science and good data, not on emotion. I also believe in a precautionary principle that the burden should be on PG&E to satisfy us that these can be employed safely. I have not reached that conclusion yet. I will say that with our request for the health data from the commission, I've also directed and talked with leaders of the PUC and PG&E asking for citizens to have the right to opt out. In other words, to say, the science isn't clear to me. I'm not confident. I don't want a smart meter installed. So I'm using my position as chair of the health committee, advocating with PUC and PG&E to extend an opt-out option to anyone in the 27th district and anybody in the state of California.
Okay. Great.
Thank you for the opportunity to address that.
Yeah, thanks.
Can you guys talk briefly about water fluoridization?
Okay, real quick, yeah. What do you think, Bill? And then we'll check with you. I assume you
want to... Well, this is one of the issues where I think Ellie and I do fundamentally disagree, and I find a lot of her positions are ones that I am supportive of, organic food, industrial hemp legalization. fine with me. I don't think it's a burning issue right now for the state of California. It's not on the ballot. It's not before the legislature. But on the issue of fluoridation, it's, in my view, I've worked in the Salinas Valley developing pediatric dental programs. Pediatric dental disease is the number one unmet health need in our Central Coast region. Young kids ending up with abscesses in the emergency room. Fluoridation of water has proven to be one of the 10 greatest advances in public health safety in the 20th century. I support fluoridation. I think it can be done safely. The city of Watsonville voted 4-3 to move forward with the pay and the cost of implementation being external. It's being supported by private foundations. It will not cost taxpayers money, and we should not make children in our region the victims of this kind of, I don't know what to call it, the hysteria.
Okay, you made your point. Thanks, Bill. Ellie, what do you think about the fluoridation?
Water fluoridation is something that I cannot even believe we're still discussing. It's absolutely outrageous. First of all, there's no chemical company that will actually state which fluoride substance will protect and maintain dental health. There's no one that will take the liability, responsibility for these claims. And also, they will not say which particular type of fluoride they will be using in the water supply. As far as Watsonville goes, it was 4-3. One of the people on the city council down there is the mayor of Watsonville, and obviously many people know about the interesting money ties to where money is coming from that he has received, which would be some of the California Dental Association PACs and places that are actually pushing fluoride. He has received money from, and this has been making quite a splash down there over the last couple of months.
Why do dentists push fluoride?
I'm sorry?
Why do dentists favor fluoridation?
Some dentists do and some dentists don't, and I will break that into two subjects. First of all, there's topical fluoride application. Topical fluoride application has been proven. People will put themselves behind it as far as, you know, claiming that it does work. They will put themselves on the line for topical fluoride actually working to harden the surface of teeth. The actual ingestion of fluoride is a completely different subject. And it needs to be looked at as two different subjects.
There are many dentists that are against it. Yeah.
Yes. And I would encourage anyone to go online. You can go to my website. Can I mention my website?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Backintheblack2010.com. Go to water fluoridation and watch the short 30-minute presentation called Professional Perspectives on Water Fluoridation. There is so much conflicting information out there, and it's all leaning towards fluoride being dangerous. And
the real health data shows the benefits to public health and particularly pediatric dental health. That's the medical data that's been collected over the last 20, 30 years. It was the John Birch Society that vilified fluoridation of water as being a communist plot, and I'm just shocked that this is still considered even a legitimate.
Okay, you're both shocked. Let's move on from that. There's a whole lot of other things. Plus, we have some commercial breaks that if we don't play, there will be no radio station. So you're listening to the KSCO Saturday Special. MZ, your host here. First hour is a candidates forum featuring California State Assembly 27th District candidates, Ellie Black and Bill Monning. You're invited to participate, although the lines are jammed right now. So I don't know what that was all about, but anyhow, okay, there, Thor, I guess Thor left. Now there's a line open at 479-1080, so you can jump in if you want to. We'll come back with Rick in San Jose, Michael in Live Oak, Stan in Marysville, Gary in Live Oak, Rob in Bonnie Doone, and more, but stay tuned. Dave, let's go ahead and do the two breaks together here, we will be back, so stay with us.
As Election Day approaches, voters have a critical decision to make. Do we want more of the same, or has time come to hold our elected officials accountable for their fiscal irresponsibility? I am Jeff Taylor, and I want to replace Sam Farr as your congressman. Sam has been a reliable rubber stamp vote for Nancy Pelosi's policies. Together, they've given us bailouts, failed stimulus programs, and record-level debt. Not since the Great Depression has America seen so many business failures, bankruptcies, job losses, and mortgage foreclosures. Elect me to Congress on November 2nd, and special interest groups will no longer control the 17th Congressional District. That seat will belong to the people, its rightful owner. My first priorities will be to restore fiscal responsibility to government and to help create a job-friendly business environment here on the Central Coast. Vote Jeff Taylor for Congress, and I'll go to work for you.
I'm Jeff Taylor, running for the 17th Congressional District, and I endorse this message.
I am Greg Caput. I'm running for 4th District Supervisor. I am a voice you can trust. County supervisors raised their pay 112% in 12 years. How well have you done? When elected, I will cut my own pay 25% and ask all the other supervisors to do the same. Term limits for supervisors? I say 8 years is enough, 12 years is too much. Jobs? I say we save the jobs of the lowest paid county employees. Affordable housing? I say we build houses for $45,000 incomes instead of $100,000 incomes. Planning? More public safety, parks, schools, and safe traffic streets. Less of that flawed Atkinson Lane proposal. Airport? I say we save the airport that saves us when we really need it. Veterans, a big thank you to all my fellow veterans for your service. I am Greg Caput. I'm running for 4th District Supervisor, and I approve this message.
Storms, thefts, accidents. You can't predict what will happen, but you can prepare for what may happen. Hi, I'm Clay Timmons at DCD Insurance Services in Santa Cruz. Allied will insure your home for some of the most competitive rates available today. And if you insure your auto with the Allied Group, you'll enjoy combined savings of up to 30%. Protect yourself from what may happen. Call us at DCD Insurance Services, 877-378-9068, or visit dcdis.com.
As a Central Coast grower, you face many risks every day. Hi, I'm Marco Martinez with DCD Insurance Services here in Santa Cruz. A good way to manage risks is with an Allied Group AgriChoice Insurance Plan. DCD and Allied, a nationwide company, will insure your farm's equipment, liability, and property for some of the most competitive rates available. And with Allied's premier 24-hour-per-day service and DCD's 70 years of service to the community, your farm is protected. Call us at 877-378-9068 or visit dcdis.com. DCD and Allied nationwide are always on your side. Se habla español.
If you work the land, Webb's Farm Supplies in Soquel and Husqvarna Power Tools can make your work easy. Whether you need professional-grade power for landscape and trees or consumer-grade power for home and garden, Webb's Farm Supplies has world-leading Husqvarna Power Tools. Saws, trimmers, cutters, mowers, and parts for anything and everything new or obsolete. At 5381 Old San Jose Road for over 65 years, it's Webb's Farm Supplies and Husqvarna. Visit webbs-farmsupplies.com or call 475-1020. 475-1020.
Waste and mismanagement. That's all we get from Sacramento these days. And now we have a career bureaucrat running for superintendent of public instruction, Larry Aceves. As a former administrator, he spent $1.6 million to remodel his office while refusing to air-condition student classrooms during a heat wave. And now, if he's elected, the Orange County Register says that Larry Aceves will receive a huge increase in his already bloated $138,000 a year administrative pension on top of his $151,000 salary. When asked if he would refuse this increase, Larry Aceves said, "Why would I do that?" Larry Aceves has been part of the waste and mismanagement plaguing local school districts throughout California. That's not what we need now for superintendent. On November 2nd, teachers are voting for Tom Torlakson for superintendent of public instruction. Paid for by Torlakson for superintendent of public instruction 2010 with funding from teachers and school employees and California Teachers Association independent expenditure committees. Not authorized by a candidate or a candidate committee.
You might not be able to say it very easily. Apiary, that's what she said to me. Let me just tell you something about the rest. If you're into bees and beeswax, then you're into Pacific Crest.
Give the most this holiday season by giving the gift of honeybees. Hi, I'm Dana Mama, Pacific Crest Apiary's Honey Farm and Gift Store. Come out for a visit. We're just a stone's throw from Aptos at 875 Calabasas Road.
You'll find Dana's handcrafted beeswax candles in many styles, lots of delicious honeys, and a gift store stocked to the rafters with the kinds of gifts your loved ones will keep forever.
A proud member of Think Local First.
Back for me, Pacific Crest. Apiary.
Oh, how sweet.
Open Mondays to Wednesdays, noon to 5:30, and weekends 10 to 6. Directions at PacificCrestApiaries.com.
Jack be nimble, Jack be quick. Jack knocked over a candlestick onto the shag carpeting, and his pants ignited into flames, causing him to stop, drop, and roll. Luckily, Jack recently had Geico help him with renter's insurance, because all his belongings went up in flames. Jack got full replacement and now has new pants he ordered from Banana Republic. Visit Geico.com and see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
You're listening to KSCO, serving Salinas, San Juan, Bautista, and Lockwood.
Hey, welcome back to hour number one of the KSCO Saturday Special with MZ and Ellie Black and Bill Monning. The latter two individuals want your vote for California State Assembly, 27th District, come this next Tuesday. In the election, and you can ask them a question here. I'm not sure we'll be able to get everybody who's on the line now. I promise we'll get you in here. But if you want to call, I think there's one line open at 479-1080. got this on email here. Please ask Linda and Bill, which is Ellie and Linda, same person, what their position on gun freedoms are, and specifically whether they support the California assault weapons ban. So who wants to go first on that?
I'll go first.
Okay.
I think the 10th Amendment of this country is there for the Second Amendment is there for a reason. And to try to undermine any part of our Constitution is a very, very bad idea. I am definitely of the firm belief that guns don't kill people, people kill people. And I think that one of the most beneficial things that people can do is learn how to not only defend themselves, but there are also people out there who are very avid hunters. And I think that understanding how to do that, how to hunt as well is a very important part. But obviously assault rifles are not something that people will be hunting with. So that is purely a self-defense issue. And I understand that there are many concerns about guns out there. I know many people who are afraid of guns, and I am sad about that, but I would encourage anyone out there who is afraid to go learn about it. It's not, going to go off by itself. It's learn about it, take one apart, put it back together, see how it works, especially for women. There's nothing, I think women need to empower themselves especially.
Okay, Bill, what do you think about gun control and so forth?
Well, I'm a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. I'm also a strong supporter of law enforcement, which has weighed in consistently with the importance from a law enforcement point of view of certain regulations, including registration of weapons, control of certain weapons, and anyone who says hunters need assault weapons to take down a deer aren't real hunters. Assault weapons in the hands of criminals do lead to death, and being able to track those weapons, both from the sale and the ammunition sale, is something that law enforcement strongly favors throughout the state and throughout the nation.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Bill Monning. In fact, that's a great segue to our guest next hour. Will be Sheriff Richard Mack. We might get him on toward the beginning of the hour, but definitely later on, 15, 20 minutes into the hour. So Richard Mack is one of the few sheriffs, a few law enforcement officials that I know of, or former law enforcement officials, who are very much against all kinds of gun control and so forth. So, yeah.
Can I reply?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. First of all, the big issue with controlling any sort of ammunition or firearm control for the sake of solving crimes or preventing crimes is really almost pointless, because obviously most of the weapons used to commit crimes are black market and even come from out of the country. A lot of them come from over the Mexican border. So it really doesn't make any sense at all. All that it ends up doing is putting a burden on honest citizens.
Assuming the truth of the statement you just made, Ellie, if you could save one child's life in East Salinas or Santa Cruz by preventing a convicted felon from buying a gun at a gun shop, wouldn't that be worth that regulation if it saves a life?
A convicted felon cannot purchase a gun at a gun shop.
That's right, and that's a law that is in place, and it's why we have registration laws at the point of sale and a background check. And there are those who argue that that is an illegal restraint and infringement on the Second Amendment. You and I apparently disagree on that. I think the key here is to find responsible balance that protects the rights of gun owners and protects law enforcement in its very difficult challenge of trying to keep the guns out of the hands of criminals. And I'm the first to recognize that criminals will get guns through the black market and through theft and robbery. But even stolen weapons, if you can trace that weapon, can lead to an arrest and a conviction, and removing somebody from our streets who might take your child or your neighbor if not apprehended.
Okay, let's call it quits on that particular subject. Let's go to our next caller, Rick in San Jose, about illegals and health care. Rick, welcome to KSCO, the Saturday special. You're on the air.
MZ, I'll tell a quick story, and then I'll let both of them respond however they see fit. The whole idea was spurred by Bill's comment about the illegal aliens keeping Social Security in the black. I am visually witnessed employers handing out Social Security numbers of people who had them that were legal registered green card holders who get a Social Security card. They hand out these numbers to other relatives to these people. They all get paid into the same account with different addresses. It would take a simpleton about an hour and a half to search the database and see how many different addresses are tied to the same Social Security number. But the government doesn't care, because it does bring money into the Social Security. But then there's only one person who benefits that, which is an illegal who is registered. So when they retire, they're benefiting from maybe 3 to 4 to 5. And I've watched up to 5 different people use the same Social Security number within the same company. Now, Mr. Ramone, you can comment on that and tell me how that is fair. Number one, you're exploiting the other 4 or 5 illegals using that Social Security number because they never get any benefits. Or are you just kind of doing it by default and then giving them health care, giving them emergency rooms, giving them everything just out of guilt? So I'll take my answer.
First of all, I'll start, since that was kind of directed at me, and then I'm sure Ellie will have a comment on it as well. First of all, what was just described is the illegal practice, and it shows up in Social Security computer cross-check of multiple people using the same number. I'll stand by my earlier statement that the Social Security system is getting more paid into it by undocumented workers, often using a false or what they call a choico number, but the payment by the employer still goes into the Social Security. Nobody is drawing on that. And again, I'll come back to this notion of undocumented workers accessing welfare, housing allowances, free medical care. There are cases of corruption and illegality at all levels, including corporate illegality and scamming the system. The fact of the matter is, undocumented workers are not eligible for any of those programs, and if they try to apply, they have to provide proof of citizenship. An emergency room does have an obligation to treat anybody that is facing a mortal illness. They cannot turn somebody away. We all pay for that, but regardless of the person's status of being documented or undocumented, poor people that access emergency rooms, including children, citizen children with an abscess for lack of good dental hygiene and dental care, we all pay for that. One of the things of the national health care reform is to try to equalize who shoulders the burden of that including employers today who aren't providing any health care for their employees, particularly in the region where we live, and we're all paying the cost of that health care. And when we pay it at an emergency room cost, we're paying it much higher than if there were a medical home, primary care, prevention and wellness. That's how we're going to save our system money.
Ellie, your response, please.
Yes, first of all, yes, it's illegal for anybody who is not a legal citizen to be receiving these benefits. However, Bill, we really need to face reality here and understand and hopefully agree that despite the fact that it's illegal, it is happening, and it's happening at tremendous rates. And
what's
I have come up with this.
That?
I have come up with a solution. Well, I mean, just look at it. I know people, you know, that's the way it is. If the system
is... No people breaking the law, then you should report them.
The system is seriously problematic. And my proposal is something that, as Bill was saying, is something that would reach all levels. And that is a eligibility review for all government aid recipients. And that's something that could be done in a lottery. It could be done however one wanted to do it. It could be based on amount of benefits being received. But it would basically require anyone who was receiving benefits to set up a meeting with somebody who could do the review within, say, 45 to 60 days. And if they did not set up that meeting, the benefits would end. If
well,
they do
the
set up
law.
The meeting...
Food stamps, people have to qualify four times a year.
Let us finish.
Yes.
She didn't interrupt you.
So these are things that I'm looking at, and everyone that I've run this plan by has agreed with me because it's a non-racial issue. It's not targeting any particular group. It's just simply taking the problem and getting to the root of it. And the eligibility could be far more than simply citizenship. It could be, you know, are they getting benefits for a cat? Are they getting benefits for somebody who's dead? I mean, the amount of advantages taken of the system is appalling to me, and it's obviously something that we need to look at because it's costing the state way too much money. And I further would like to close by saying that I am completely in support of bringing back the Bracero program for the agriculture in this state. That is a system that was very effective, and that's what the farmers are supportive of, and I am absolutely in support of that.
Okay, thank you, Rick in San Jose. Next caller to the Saturday Special is Stan in Marysville about illegals and health care. Go ahead, Stan, you're on.
Yes, good morning. I have a close relative who works at Springs Valley Memorial Hospital and also affiliated in some ways with CHOMP at Monterey. I'm from Salinas but also living in Marysville right now. And the Salinas Valley Memorial Hospital, for Mr. Bill's information, within the last 2 to 3 months, has laid off between 300 and 350 people. And CHOMP in Monterey has also had a large layoff. This is because of about $18 million of debt, which I can't verify for sure, that the hospitals have. This is by people using basically the emergency room. I'm not saying what ethnic group or anything else, but something has to be done about this. And I think as far as farm workers in Salinas Valley, if they want to work here, their employers should be taking care of their medical because these hospitals are going to close down if this keeps up. And some of the people that were laid off were there for more than 30 years. And I thought, I'm just putting this out to let people know if they haven't read in the papers. And that's about all I have to say, and thank you very much.
Thank you for making your call, making your comments here on the Saturday Special. Gary,
the comment. Was that directed to me, Michael, for a response?
All right, real quick.
Layoff. You're absolutely right. Both Salinas Valley Memorial and CHOMP have had to lay off workers. We've just been negotiating with the federal government a higher reimbursement rate for Medi-Cal eligible patients coming into those hospitals. That is a landmark of both the federal reform and actually the commitment of this Governor Schwarzenegger to work towards higher reimbursement for medically indigent, for medically eligible for those services. I totally agree with the caller. The employers are getting off scot-free. The workforce, they're generating the revenues for those employers. Some of the bigger employers do provide health care coverage. Many don't, and we're all paying the cost of that. So one of the goals here is to equalize society's burden and how we shoulder that. And then I would just take in I just ask Ellie, when you referenced the Bracero program, it has a very negative connotation. Workers were exploited. They didn't get paid. The money was kept by the bank. What I favor is a guest worker program, the ag jobs supported by both agriculture in California and the United Farm Workers Union. It would be a mechanism to bring workforce who would be here under the color of law, as long as they didn't break the law. They would be earning money legally, and they would return to their country of origin. That's quite different than how the Bracero program was operated.
Ellie, do you have anything to add about the hospital choking and so forth?
Yes, I think that there is an issue with the employers being forced to provide health care. I don't believe that any employer should be forced to provide health care. I think that when somebody decides to take a job somewhere, they need to consider what the pros and cons of taking that particular type of work is. Are there benefits? Are there not benefits? You know, there are many different things that a employee must weigh when they're looking at a job, and part of that is health care. And as far as the impact on the hospitals that that are caused by farm workers, as the caller said, who are using the emergency care system as basically a primary care provider, that doesn't work. And why, you know, why are these, if these folks are eligible for Medicare, you know, that should be covering it. And if they are not, then how can we handle that and avoid treating people who are not eligible for these benefits? And of course, we can't turn people away from the emergency rooms, and that's why we're in the situation. So we need to look at making sure that anybody who is working in these farms is actually eligible to, as a citizen, for these benefits and therefore Medicare, and so that the hospitals can actually get money. Otherwise, if someone is not documented, they will get the treatment and the hospital will not be reimbursed.
We are well into Fox News, but we're going to dispense with Fox News. I'm sure that's going to break a lot of people's hearts. But I will give our legal ID. That is KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's the Saturday special with MZ, that's me, and my guest Bill Monning, who is our state assemblyman and wants to continue to be our state assemblyman. And Ellie Black is challenging him in the upcoming election come this Tuesday. Gee, we have a whole board full of callers here, so let's just continue here. Michael in Live Oak, you have a question for Bill Monning. Go ahead, Michael, you're on the air.
Yes, Bill, can you hear me?
Yes, uh-huh.
I was wondering, last year they announced that they that in California they cut out the dental benefits that were part of Medi-Cal. They also cut out part of the eye care and I believe the foot care. And I was just wondering, that seems very harsh. I mean, the people like myself who are on disability, that's, we now have much more limited medical care. What was your role in that? What is your opinion of that action?
Well, I appreciate the call. Part of reconciling the budget last year and this year necessitated deep cuts. And I'd say the polarization between Democrats and the governor and the Republicans was, to what degree do we cut essential services, particularly to people with disabilities? After we passed the budget with two-thirds votes in both houses, and that was 22 different budget bills, a 19-hour session, the governor then blue-penciled $1 billion more in spending cuts, eliminating support to youth mental health programs, to HIV/AIDS treatment programs, to people living with disabilities, and eliminating stage three child care for women leaving welfare who are at minimum wage paying jobs. They're in the workforce, dependent on child care support. Every dollar of California pulls in federal dollars. The governor eliminated that. So it's an overused saying, but being penny wise sounds foolish. The governor and the Republicans have targeted the poorest, people without voice, without lobbying organizations in Sacramento, and the impact will fall on our local communities. There'll be greater homelessness, more access to our emergency rooms by people denied basic coverage. So as a state, I think the polarization between Republican and Democratic philosophy, as a Democrat, I feel that our state and our government and our budget could provide support for people in greatest need. Republicans, I think, argue let the free market forces compete and let people fend for themselves. If they're disabled, if they've got HIV/AIDS, it's a stark contrast and I think a clear choice for voters.
I wonder, does Ellie have a comment on that?
Yes. And I am a supporter of a safety net for those that truly need it. And I am speaking of those who are disabled. I'm speaking of those who are unable to work and provide for themselves. And whether or not that is publicly funded or privately funded is not so much of an issue to me as how efficiently it's being run. And I do believe it should be a true safety net. And not for, I just feel that all these health issues that people are claiming disability from these days is absolutely outrageous. These things that supposedly keep them from being able to work, and then I see these people having a great time, having fun, playing somewhere, and I've seen it my whole life in Santa Cruz, there are people who used to work at a health food store, and I had people who would come in, and I'd overhear conversations how they were so thrilled that finally their Section 8 just went through, and they were getting free housing, and I'm looking at these people, I'm going, you're completely able-bodied. And, you know, unfortunately, I suspect that a lot of these people are working under the table and really are not eligible for these programs. So it's taking that closer look at how are these resources actually being used and are they truly going to those who need them the most? And I do think that if we look at this from a common sense perspective and cut out the waste and then the fraud, that we can once again, as a state and as a country, have a healthcare system that is the envy of the world.
Okay, thank you very much, Michael, in Live Oak. Our next caller is Suzanne in Soquel. Suzanne, you're on KSCO.
Yes, hi. Thank you for doing this. And my question is about state sovereignty and more sovereignty for California and moving away from federal government control and mandates.
You're going to like Sheriff Mack when we have him on later in the hour, but go ahead.
I'll look forward to that. Thank you. My concern is that what happened in the Central Valley, for example, just one example of the federal government's type of control and mandates to our state and many states, is that could happen here, that they could cut off our water supply for supposed reasons that have to do with EPA concerns or federal land grabs. And I want to know from both candidates, I'd like to know from Mr. Monning, first of all, how could something like what happened in the Central Valley ever have occurred? Couldn't our state do something about that? And then also from both candidates, I'd like to hear how can we move farther away from the federal government's control of our state. I think it's proven to be a fallacious that it's actually economically sound when it drives into our basic revenues for the state. And
Bill, I want to ask you to answer those questions. And Ellie, please, really quickly. I'm sorry, but it's just we got to move ahead here.
Well, again, I appreciate the call. I'm not 100% sure of what the Central Valley program is. Generally, I would say with respect to federal mandates, it was the federal deregulation of the financial industry that allowed the collapse of our economy. It's led to 10,000 home foreclosures in Monterey County, 5,000 in Santa Cruz County. The stimulus money has gone into our schools. It's gone into our highway and road repair. It's protected California from insolvency. We may agree to disagree philosophically on what role the federal government should play. I don't see the federal government as the enemy coming in and taking our lands. They, in fact, transferred land that we use as our state parks now that I am fighting to protect by supporting Prop 21.
Okay. Go ahead, Ellie, please.
I believe the caller was referring to the water being shut off in the Central Valley, which has put many farmers out of business. They've lost their homes, and orchards have been dying, not just crops, not just yearly crops, seasonal crops, but whole orchards of nuts and fruit trees have been destroyed by this federal law that came down the pike on to us here in California. I believe that's what the caller was referring to. And
yes.
By addressing the 10th Amendment, which says, it's very short, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited it by the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And so this is a tool that can be used for things of this nature where the federal government is overreaching its bounds by such a vast amount. I mean, California has historically had its primary source of economy has been agriculture. And so for the whole, the bread bowl, the fruit bowl of the world to be just stopped in its tracks by the federal government is absolutely insane. And I actually have a question for Bill as well, is what are you doing to get the water turned back on in the Central Valley so we can get back on our feet?
Well, I do appreciate that question, Ellie. I've been focused primarily on our regional water crisis and trying to solve the overdraft issues in both Monterey and Santa Cruz County. The West Plains Water District that both the listener and you made reference to, that's been highly subsidized federal water for years. One of the issues in the ballot measure that is not going on the ballot this year but will in 2012, an $11 billion water bond, arguably to get more water to the Westlands. Currently, growers in the Westlands who have cut off farming operations are selling their water to Southern California. I believe any water solution, the user should pay. We on the Central Coast shouldn't pay for the transport of water from Northern California to Southern California swimming pools. That's why I voted no on the water bond, to protect our Central Coast taxpayers from having to pay part of the payment of $900 million a year of debt service on the water bond. $900,000, close to a million a year in debt service for those water bonds. We can't afford that right now. We need to direct that money to schools. We need to make sure farmers have access to water that they're going to use for farming and not to resell to the highest bidder in Southern California.
Okay, thanks, Bill. Next question, John in Aptos about pensions. Quick, John.
Well, we hear a lot about Social Security, and they're going to raise the pension age for pensioners are on Social Security, and we never hear about city, municipal, and state workers' pensions. Everything seems to fall back to the poor old stiff that's working for Social Security. And what about double dipping? Now, if Brown is reelected, he's collecting his governor's pension, he's collecting the Attorney General's pension. I assume he gets something out of
the,
Oakland.
I don't know about the Attorney General's pension, but I.
Oh,
I
got, no, he'll get it.
No. I got to know Jerry Brown in 1994 when he was doing a talk radio show on KSCO and some other stations, and I was astounded to learn then, and I don't think he would have lied to me, that there was no governor's pension back then.
Okay.
From when he was governor.
If there wasn't back then, I'll bet they put one in and retroactive it.
Okay,
the fact
of the matter is there is now.
One thing I know about the pension is, as he said in one of the debates with Meg Whitman, he won't be eligible for any pension until he retires. So as long as he continues to work for the government, he won't draw a pension. Members of the legislature, we have no pension. A lot of people think we're living on a fat salary and fat pensions. There is no pension for legislators. I was pressed to vote on a package of six bills that go to the municipal government and what they're going to have to do when they pay a city manager $800,000 a year. We put a ceiling on what the highest salary can be for calculating a pension. We've also required more transparency, and we've gotten rid of what we call evergreen clauses where a city manager, city attorney can put in their contract an automatic rollover with a 12% year increase. That's going to have to come back into daylight every year in a public hearing before that city council or board of supervisors. I will say to the governor's credit, he's negotiated with statewide employee unions a reduction of state contribution, higher employee contribution, and higher retirement age to qualify for pension benefits. 75% of Californians receiving a government pension receive less than $3,000 a month on that retirement pension. That includes school teachers. So,
okay. All right, let's move on. Thank you, John and Aptos. Gary in Live Oak, you called earlier. I don't know what happened, but you're on now.
Yeah, I think they're missing the most important sections of
policy making, from whether it be AB 32, California's cap and trade, to open borders, fluoride, smart meters, is the fact that between elections, when the attention, the spotlight, the short spotlight isn't there, California Forward is a gaggle of foundations that run policy both in the state and local governments, and also most of the governments, including Salinas, Santa Cruz County, Santa Cruz City, have all signed on to the World Bank ICLEI enforcing Agenda 21. They're the ones that are setting the policy and creating the law. I was wondering how the candidates will break from these international bodies in preparation for a North American Union look after us so that we have self-government and local government.
Okay, why don't you, it's been a while since you talked, Ellie, so why don't you take that first?
Yeah, thank you for that question. And it's actually very interesting to have that question. Most, I don't think very many candidates, none that I know of that are currently here running locally, have even brought this issue to the table, and I think many are not even aware of it. Agenda 21 is a very, very real issue, and it is gaining public attention, and it's something that has been done behind the scenes and is reaching into almost every aspect of our lives. And it's unfortunate because it's something that incorporates greenwashing, which is a term coined relatively recently, where almost anything can be shoved down the public's throat as long as it sounds like it's environmentally a good thing, or it sounds like it's the word sustainable has been co-opted and used as part of the Agenda 21 program. And it's very unfortunate that it had to go this way. But it is interesting because the public is starting to look into it, and it's a United Nations program that is being implemented locally, and it's completely out of sight
locally,
of the
Ellie,
public.
Just locally, Ellie, or locally in many different locales?
Oh, this is something that cities across the nation have signed on to quietly, back rooms. SAMFAR, for example, was questioned about it on camera. He denied knowing anything about it when questioned.
Yeah, for years and years,
and then found his signature
over and over
paper.
On KSCO. We've asked, sitting Congress people and sitting state government electees about Agenda 21, and every time they just said, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you think, Bill?
I'd like to just put one more thing really quick. Sorry, Michael. I would encourage anyone to go onto my website, look at my endorsements. I've been endorsed by Democrats Against UNAgenda21.org, UNAgenda21.org. And so, you know, this is just an example where this is a bipartisan, nonpartisan issue that is affecting everyone.
Okay,
so
Bill, tell us about Agenda 21. Do you acknowledge that it even exists?
It's a red herring, and I think the people that raise this is their number one issue. They talk about black helicopters from the UN coming into our communities in the dead of night and putting fluoride in our water supplies. It's hysterical policy rant. What I will say is, in terms of endorsements, I've been endorsed by every mayor in every city of every town in the 27th Assembly District. That includes four Republican mayors who have endorsed me. Part of being effective in Sacramento is building relationships. I'm the only bilingual candidate running in this race. I've worked in these communities for over 35 years. To be an effective advocate in Sacramento, one needs to be intimately connected with elected bodies in our communities. And,
well, what about Agenda 21? You called it a red herring. Is it just a bunch of nutcase people or what? I mean, what is it?
I have to confess, I don't really know what all the elements and hysteria are about Agenda 21. I'm not aware of any local government that is embracing Agenda 21 principles. I couldn't tell you what those principles espouse to be. What happens at the local level is people elected by local communities to represent their best interests and to have representatives from Sacramento and Washington who know their concerns, know their issues, and can fight for what they care about.
Well, forget about Agenda 21. What about the United Nations? Do you embrace United Nations?
I think the United Nations, it was founded after World War II. It's our next best to try to bring people together around the world. Our planet is a shrinking planet with population growth. We need to convene people at a table of respectful dialogue as opposed to on battlefields. I support many of the initiatives of the UN, from child nutrition to international campaigns to reduce the marketing of tobacco products that kill millions of people a year, the United Nations, the World Health Organization. For me, it's a step in the right direction. I wish they had more resources to bring people to the table, and we could reduce the loss of lives on battlefields and the loss of economic and human capital that's going into militarization instead of humanization.
I'd like to take this opportunity to formally invite yourself, Bill, and anyone in the audience who's interested to an event on November 17th at the Live Oak Grange in Live Oak. It's at 1900 17th Avenue. At 7 p.m., there will be a presentation on the United Nations and what its connection is with Agenda 21 and how United Nations mandates are affecting our very lives, are affecting our very neighborhoods. There are buildings going up around this area that are part of the Agenda 21 program, and so it'll be a very interesting opportunity to learn.
Is this one of those Freedom Forum events?
Yes, it is.
Okay. We don't want to necessarily put Bill on the spot, but you know what? I will. Bill, you might have another schedule. You might have a schedule conflict that particular day. But Ellie, I don't know if you have anything to do with the program, but if Bill were to show up, which I doubt that he will, because I don't think most politicians, especially you know, after the election, you know, are interested in that. But just let me ask, Bill or Ellie. Do you think if Bill did show up that he would be given a chance to speak before that group, and because of pretty hostile people?
It's not necessarily a hostile group. But
I think they would be hostile towards him because he embraces the United Nations, well, and everybody in that group hates the United Nations.
But Michael, let me just clarify. Most of the folks that I have met in my day to day life, including Bill, embrace the UN for the good things. And I am anti-war, and I am pro-freedom, and I embrace the good things that the UN espouses. I don't embrace the bad things. Most people who support the UN and like the UN don't know about
these. When you say bad things, you're talking global government and so forth?
I'm talking about Agenda 21 and control over every single thing that we do in our lives, down to the food we eat.
Right, which Bill does not agree with. Am I right, Bill? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Right. I have yet to see evidence of any United Nations program that's dictating our lives. But let me respond to the invitation, because I appreciate the invitation. I am scheduled to be in Sacramento on November 5th.
17th, isn't it? Isn't
17th,
it?
Yes.
November 17th.
17th. That's possible. I would welcome the chance to engage. Don't have a calendar in front of me, but I'm glad to follow up with Ellie and get the details on that. I thought I heard the 5th when I...
All right. Well, if you don't have the time to attend that, I'd like to invite you to come back to a Saturday special with Ellie, or somebody else from representing the Freedom Forum at some time in the future, so that you guys can just sort of have a public forum about Agenda 21 or not Agenda 21. I think it would be a great public service. So would you be willing to participate in that, Bill?
Absolutely, I would.
Okay, great.
That.
Good. We'll get some good radio on your favorite radio station for a change, right? No, I'm only kidding. Okay, boy, I don't know. We were going to have Sheriff Mack on. What should we do here? I guess it's up to me. But, boy, we have a full board of people who want to talk to these candidates. I sort of feel like, you know, Sheriff Mack is a phenomenally interesting person here. But, you know, how often is it that we have the candidates here that everybody wants to talk to in this very critical election? So maybe we ought to just let this thing go on a little bit more here anyhow.
Michael, I am going to have to wrap up here in probably 5 or 10 minutes. I could be on for a little bit longer, but I do have some prior commitments.
You would push something else aside to be on this. So Rich and Salinas, you're on the air with Bill Monning and Ellie Black and MZ.
Citing the UN and Agenda 21 because they're basically behind it. But are you, both of you, or either one of you, aware of Barack Obama's executive order in July, 1100 something? I don't have the exact number, tying us into the United Nations and fishing and off our coast, where we're going to have police officers on each fishing boat when they go out, to determine if they catch the right amount of fish or the wrong fish or endangered species, and they can shut them down in a moment's notice?
Go ahead, Ellie.
I wasn't aware of that particular part to the executive order, but I'm wondering if this is the same executive order that rumor has it that may also be embracing the UN's Codex Alimentarius.
Yep.
But I don't know any more about that.
Nasty stuff. I can't keep
Let me just comment. The federal enforcement of protecting certain marine sanctuaries that have already been designated as marine sanctuaries, including the Monterey Bay Sanctuary, it's a sensitive issue. Our local fishing community has been impacted. There's already enforcement of sustainable fishing mechanisms to protect endangered fisheries. I support that. I also support our local fishing community not to be left out in the cold in terms of how implementation of global plans to protect fisheries impact us at the local level. I've convened a group of our local fishing community, local environmental groups, and some agency representatives. We've been meeting quarterly to explore where are the areas that we can review and expand access to different fisheries, and where are those areas that we should continue to bolster the protection of certain marine protection areas. There are not simple answers to these. When you get into public policy, it's not black and white. People ask me, do you support this, do you support that? The complexity of governance and policymaking, it's not like running a business. You need to bring people to the table. Politics has been described as the art of compromise. I think the most efficient policy advocates, whether they're city council members or mayors or legislators, they're the best listeners, and they're the best at being able to respect people regardless of their point of view and try to move people towards a consensus. That's not always possible. But the polarization in our body politic today, that's what's going to bring our country to its knees. That's what's going to stop us dead in our tracks and allow other countries to move ahead of us in the global economy.
Are you saying you approve of police officers on the boats?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Are you saying you agree with the idea of having a police officer on each fishing boat?
No, I'm not. And I don't think the resources exist to put a police officer on every boat. We have one armed NOAA enforcement officer from San Francisco to Los Angeles who is occasionally in the Monterey area enforcing existing law to protect fisheries. And I support that. I don't think we should let the free market have its way with our fisheries. Our oceans are producing 40% less oxygen now than they were 40 years ago. We have contamination of plankton from DDT that was banned 50 years ago. We only get one chance to move this planet forward and hand it off to our kids and our grandkids. And I will err on the side of protecting our precious natural resources so that our children have that chance.
Okay, that's it, gang. I hate to do this, but it would never stop here. We got jam phone line, so if you've called in to talk to Bill Monning or Ellie Black, we're sorry. Got to cut it off somewhere. We have a number of other things to do on this Saturday special. I want to thank Bill Monning and Ellie Black for being with us for the last just about hour and a half.
Michael, thank you and KSDO. I appreciate this opportunity and the service you provide.
Well, we're more than happy to provide this public service that no other station seems to be interested in doing. So
that could be subject of another conversation. The media is not; they have no interest in these elections.
Yeah, well, we do. But anyhow, thank you, Bill. Appreciate that you set aside some other previously scheduled things or moved your schedule around to make this happen. I think it's a smart thing that you did. And Ellie, thank you very much. And Dave, thanks for doing it. Now, let's see, ahead.
Thank you, guys. Thanks,
okay.
Ellie.
Take care.
Bill.
Ahead is Sheriff Richard Mack. So if you're on Terry or Nick in Terry and Aptos or Nick Belias in Wattsville, Nick hung up here. So if you want to talk to, you got a space if you want to talk to Sheriff Mack. I don't know how many phone calls we're going to be able to have with Sheriff Mack, but we told him we'd be calling him shortly after 11 o'clock. It's almost 11:30 now. We got commercials. We got a K's commentary. And I'm going to do the K's commentary right now. I think we will do that here.
He's whirling. While most of us are eagerly waiting for election time, so we can express our concerns over the direction our government has taken in the past 2 years, we can wonder what always concerns me the most, and that is voter fraud. Voter fraud is a big issue. No doubt both political parties participate one way or another. Have the voting machines been tampered with, we wonder? 2 years ago, I became aware of the organization called ACORN, originating in Chicago, and it had enough clout to be able to open different voting places a couple of months before the elections. This contributed to voter fraud. Street people were urged to vote many times and were paid each time. All this was mentioned in various newspapers. Also, did you know that Obama was ACORN's legal representative in Chicago many years ago? Now we continue to encourage early voting, and I believe it's wrong, because the only safe way to vote with proper inspection is for the entire country to vote one day, the same day, the first Tuesday in November. Also, there is absentee voting, which I have used for many years and always thought that way is very safe. Now we learn there are a lot of shenanigans that way also, because the one person who opens the absentee ballot can arbitrarily change it. Clearly, there are no easy answers, so please vote, no matter what, and let's hope honesty will mostly prevail. This election undoubtedly is the most important one we Americans have ever had to face. It will decide whether we will remain a free country or become socialistic. We must totally eliminate Obamacare, which eventually will have the power to decide how long each one of us will be allowed to live. And Sam, that would be far more toxic than anything I could ever say. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Okay. We're going to take a minute here to a little more than a minute to play a comment line voicemail that I received that disgusted me, ladies and gentlemen. It's happened more than once here. We're just going to play it and then we'll move on here. But this is in response to not this case commentary that you just heard, because it was world premiered just now. This is the first time it's ever been broadcast since it was recorded. But this is a voicemail in response to the previous case commentary that ran for the last week. So here it is.
This is regarding Kay Swirling's editorial on the radio today. It's Wednesday today. I can't believe that you get people to listen to your radio station with that kind of hogwash that she's... I mean, 8 years of Bush, and now you're complaining about Obama after 8 years of Bush destroying our country? I mean, I expected Santa Cruz to have more intelligent people. And Kay, you know, I'm going to do everything I can to tell people not to listen to your station from now on. I've got a very prominent area where I live here. A lot, millions of people walk by my house, and I'm going to have a boycott KSCO, because with those kind of views, you shouldn't have anybody listening to your station anymore. So anyway, I think Kay needs to go back to school and learn about history and economy and all, and the environment, and realize what happened these past 8 years. Goodbye.
Well, goodbye.
There's a KSCO commentary.
That is so typical. That is so typical of people who are intolerant. And if they hear something that offends them, it's not enough to not listen to what offends them, to tune to another radio station. They have to do what they can to hurt or to censor or to remove the offending material from people being able to hear it or participate in it. That's what's so sad, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not particularly concerned that that this woman who has millions of people walking past her house and she's going to what's the word I'm looking for? She's going to do everything that she can to see to it that nobody listens to KSEO. And nobody, I think more people listen to KSEO as a result of it, but whatever. I think it's so sad that people are so intolerant. You know, there's a lot of things that other people say that I would never, ever, ever even entertain the notion of silencing them. You know? Anyhow, let's move on to our special guest who apologized for taking a little longer from our, but boy, it wouldn't have ended. I think it would have lasted another 5 hours here. Our candidates forum. Welcome, Sheriff Richard Mack. We've been after you here to be on the Saturday special for some weeks, and we caught you earlier when Alex Jones was with us earlier this week. You're on with Corey Gold, I believe, on Monday. But welcome back to the radio station, Sheriff Mack.
Well, thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it very much. And, man, I guess KCSO is in a lot of trouble because that lady has millions of people walking by and not going to listen anymore. Right. Well, first of all, let me clarify something there. Isn't Kay just a caller?
Kay is my mother. Kay is my mother, and she does she has an opinion on everything. And my love of talk radio, I owe 100% to my mother, Kay, who introduced me to it many, many years ago. And it evolved into a burning desire for me to own this particular radio station ever since I was, probably 12 years old.
Well, and the last lady that told us that no one should listen to your show again said we should all go back to history class and economy and environment. And if she is supporting Al Gore on his ridiculous global warming thing, because they teach that in our public schools and our government schools, then I guess we are all in trouble. But a history lesson would be one of following the founding fathers, Adam Smith on the economy. We don't believe in government taking over everything that the private sector is supposed to be doing. Bush was a horrible president. I'll give her that. But you know what Obama has done? He took everything that Bush was doing bad, quadrupled it, and then said, man, see, Bush was a dummy.
Yeah.
Bush should have spent more money.
Yeah.
Bush should have spent more money trying to bail out AIG and given our money, our tax dollars, to bonuses and not protect the borders. Clinton, Bush, and Obama have done nothing to protect the borders. All three have done the same.
Well, none of the presidents have. Even my favorite president, Reagan, you know, didn't do it.
Reagan didn't do it either.
Yeah.
In fact, he enacted amnesty.
Yeah.
Ronald Reagan spoke really good. He spoke like a founding father. His actions in diminishing the size of government and really getting taxes even further down, he stopped them, he cut them about 25%, and that's why our economy did improve. But this president believes that the best way to get out of debt is to create more debt.
Yeah.
And there has never been a more socialistic president in the history of America. I won't say he's the worst president. That's up to you. But
Do you think
socialistic or communistic in the history of America?
Do you think he's a worse president than, say, Jimmy Carter?
Right now, as far as policies are concerned, he's taken what Carter has done and has taken it to the 10th power.
So the answer is yes. So in your eyes, yes. Barack Obama is the worst president we've ever had.
Well, Jimmy Carter was before him, so he still got 2 years. He can still do a lot more destruction.
Yeah, absolutely. But you're saying he already has, basically, because he's gone beyond what Jimmy Carter did. And most people I know who think like I do think that Jimmy Carter was the absolute worst president that we've ever had.
Yeah, Carter was pretty pathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just tell you this too. Bush was a tax and spend, compassionate conservative. That was his model, compassionate conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Barack Obama has no model except for never let a good crisis go to waste. And he creates the crisis and then called this crisis, so-called the national health care crisis. And then he comes in and says, but if you'll let me spend $1 trillion more dollars, we'll force everybody in this country to have nationalized health care. And to think that Barack Obama knows and understands our health care system when he has no experience in that field whatsoever. In fact, he has no experience in any field. Except community organizing.
I was going to say that, and got quite a bit of experience there. I think it got elected president, so that's pretty good. I don't want to belabor this voicemail that I played, but the other thing that I wanted to point out, it's so typical, is that these people throw the rock and they hide the hand. They never leave their name and phone number. They just attack and then leave. I think they're cowardly people.
In law enforcement and traffic accidents, we used to call those hit and run.
Ooh, yeah, I like that. That says it all. It really does.
You know, it doesn't take any courage to cause an accident and then take off, or to say your opinion and take off. You know.
And you know the same commentary that so offended this woman who left the voicemail offended our Congressman Sam Farr, who participated in last week's Saturday Special Candidates Forum, where we had all four candidates in the studio. And during the break, when that was playing, he turned to me and said, "Who's paying for this?" And I looked at him and I said, "I am. She's my mother." And he sort of backed down a little bit, like it was improper. I said, "Do you have a problem with that?" He said, "Oh, no, it's your radio station. You can do what you want." But I mean, then he said, "Your mother really is contributing to the climate of toxic talk in this country, toxic talk, because she said such things as Obama lied, which he did, and so forth." But anyhow, so much for that. You know what? We have a number of people on the line right now, but we have a number of commercials. So, Dave, can you hear me, Dave? I can't. Okay, yes. I can see Dave on the. So why don't we do the? Why don't we play those commercial? Play the commercial break. Then we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more with Sheriff Richard Mack from Arizona. And take some calls, because there are already some people on the line who want to talk to Sheriff Mack. So stay with us. We will be back in just a few moments.
Waste and mismanagement. That's all we get from Sacramento these days. And now we have a career bureaucrat running for superintendent of public instruction, Larry Aceves. As a former administrator, he spent $1.6 million to remodel his office while refusing to air-condition student classrooms during a heat wave. And now, if he's elected, the Orange County Register says that Larry Aceves will receive a huge increase in his already bloated $138,000 a year administrative pension on top of his $151,000 salary. When asked if he would refuse this increase, Larry Aceves said, "Why would I do that?" Larry Aceves has been part of the waste and mismanagement plaguing local school districts throughout California. That's not what we need now for superintendent. On November 2nd, teachers are voting for Tom Torlakson for Superintendent of Public Instruction. Paid for by Torlakson for Superintendent of Public Instruction 2010, with funding from teachers and school employees and California Teachers Association Independent Expenditure Committees. Not authorized by a candidate or a candidate committee.
Your electrical problems are no problem when you take direct action and call Direct Electric. Hello, I'm Priscilla Christie.
And I'm Dave Christie. From blown fuses to power outages to remodels, Direct Electric will fix your electrical problems. And Direct Electric will do it right the first time at the right price with no service charge. Listen.
I'm Gretchen from Woodstock Pizza. It's the best pizza in town. We were having problems with some of our electric stuff in our store, and we heard that they are a great business, so we gave them a call. They fixed our problem. They responded immediately, and we were really happy with the work that they did for us. We are friends for life.
Your electrical problems are no problem when you take direct action and call Direct Electric.
If you are in real trouble, ask for Direct Electric 60-minute emergency service. Direct Electric, that's the name. Service and quality, that's what's in the name. Direct Electric, 425-1407, 425-1407.
As Election Day approaches, voters have a critical decision to make. Do we want more of the same, or has time come to hold our elected officials accountable for their fiscal irresponsibility? I am Jeff Taylor, and I want to replace Sam Farr as your congressman. Sam has been a reliable rubber stamp vote for Nancy Pelosi's policies. Together, they've given us bailouts, failed stimulus programs, and record-level debt. Not since the Great Depression has America seen so many business failures, bankruptcies, job losses, and mortgage foreclosures. Elect me to Congress on November 2nd, and special interest groups will no longer control the 17th Congressional District. That seat will belong to the people, its rightful owner. My first priorities will be to restore fiscal responsibility to government and to help create a job-friendly business environment here on the Central Coast. Vote Jeff Taylor for Congress, and I'll go to work for you.
I'm Jeff Taylor, running for the 17th Congressional District, and I endorse this message.
It's time to unravel the mysteries of health coverage with Pamela Fugit-Hetrick of DCD Financial and Insurance Services, an authorized independent agent for Anthem Blue Cross.
Health coverage plans are a lot like cable TV options. The least expensive plans give you the basic coverage. The most expensive plans give you all the bells and whistles. If you don't like paying for all the bells and whistles, consider a health savings account eligible plan, or HSA. HSA premiums can be up to 50% less, and the HSA account provides a federal tax-free way to save for future health expenses. Use the power of my experience as a health insurance professional. We'll talk over the quotes and make sure that you choose the best coverage at the most affordable rates.
Unravel the mysteries of your health coverage with Pamela Fugit-Hetrick of DCD Financial and Insurance Services. Go to healthexchangeforall.com for a free quote and then give Pamela a call. That's healthexchangeforall.com.
California Insurance License 0D75558. Anthem Blue Cross is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross Association.
My name is Rob Brunoski, and I'm running for State Assembly. I'm a chief financial officer, a former school board member of a very successful school district, and run a community water company. I'm married with three children, thriving in the public school system. With those experiences, I understand what is wrong in California and can begin to work on them when you elect me to the Assembly. I want to get California back in business and get those businesses hiring people again. Please vote for me on November 2nd and visit my website at votebrunoski.com. Paid for by Friends of Brunoski for Assembly.
My name is Patrice Edwards, and I'm running for Pajaro Valley Unified School District Area 1. I've been a member of several boards, including the Santa Cruz County Fair Board. I have the experience of how a board is supposed to operate in setting policy and following up to ensure that such policies are followed. My husband and I have two children currently in the district schools. My oldest graduated from Aptos High School. Many parents have lost confidence in the school district's ability to meet the needs of their children. I have three R's that I will work to accomplish if I am elected. I will reduce costs from the top down. I will restore needed educational programs. And I will retain effective classroom teachers and staff. Now is the time to improve education for all our children. I am Patrice Edwards, and I would appreciate your vote on November 2nd. Thank you.
You're listening to KSCO, serving Capitola, Castroville, and San Benito.
Okay. Hello? All righty, I think we're back on the air right now. Welcome back to the Saturday special. My name is MZ. And we're going to bring Sheriff Mack back on. Sheriff Mack, are you there?
I'm still here.
Okay. And I think we're back on the air, right? I got knocked off track here.
Yeah,
but
we're still on the air.
In any case, let's go back to the call. Let's just go right to the callers here because there's so little time left here. It's not the easiest to get you on a Saturday here, so...
I know. We'll do it again, I promise.
Okay, that's great. Here, let's go to Dave in Soquel who wants to talk to Sheriff Mack. Dave, you're on the air.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Sheriff Mack, I know that Sheriff Aparo and another sheriff down in the southern county close to the border were a military base, old military base. I don't remember the name of the county. Pima? I'm not sure. But anyway...
Pima County is Tucson, and the one you're thinking of is probably Sheriff Babo in Pinal County.
That's it. And the Sheriff Babo, he sent me a letter asking for some money, which I'm going to send him some money. because I just really am tired of all these people suing the good work that you guys are doing in Arizona.
Yeah.
So have you been sued? Are you being sued still?
Well, I haven't personally, but I'm not sheriff anymore. The other sheriffs are being sued. There's 15 counties in Arizona. And how they could include all the sheriffs on that, I'll never know. Sheriff Dupnik from Tucson doesn't support SB 1070. So why would he be getting sued? He's not doing anything to promote it.
So, do you know who's doing the suing? I know the government and some, I think that NAACP is suing, and I'm not sure who else. There's a bunch of people doing that.
Well, I think the ACLU. The ACLU
one, yeah. I'm just outrageous, offended by all that stuff, you know. I mean, my granddaughter lives in Arizona. My mother-in-law lives in Arizona. And I would be moving out there probably in a year or two. So, and I think it's outrageous.
It's the epitome of hypocrisy when you have a president who says, we won't do our constitutional obligation to protect our borders from invasion, but we're certainly not going to let you do it to yourself. That's almost saying that the state of Arizona has no right or authority to protect itself. I mean, that's how absurd this is all getting, and people wonder why the Tea Party movement is getting a little bit angry. And I am more than angry. I hate to see waste, and I hate to see fraud, and I hate to see treason, and I hate to see the Constitution destroyed, and that's all I see from this administration.
Yeah, and I think the treason part needs to come up, and some people got to start in Congress and the Senate start doing something about it. You know, and all I can really do right now is to send some money. I was let go early. I retired early because of the lack of work for plumbers, and I got too old. You know, there's age-related.
Okay, Dave, we got to move on. Henry in Live Oak, you're on the air on KSCO.
By golly, it's good waiting. Hey, I wanted to thank you for having Ellie Black and Bill Monning on. I was a little disappointed that Ellie Black didn't get to have her parting statement, and I was disappointed that Bill Monning. Well, no, it's just scheduling.
I promised both of them a 1 minute closing statement, and it didn't happen. Yeah, so blame me for that. Go ahead.
No, well, hey.
That's fine.
10 lashes of a wet noodle.
Okay.
But anyway, thanks for having him on, and I was disappointed with how he always interrupted people and did all of his bureaucratic gobbledygook. And I wanted to thank Sheriff Mack for showing up recently at the Alex Jones show.
Yeah, that was unexpected, but do you have a question for him now?
No, I just want to thank all those folks that stand tall for the Republic and the principles that keep us a strong country.
Okay, great.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Henry.
Yeah, we just need more common sense. And I don't know.
I have endorsed Ellie Black.
I have a Ben Franklin quote I wanted to read regarding all the mismanagement of what's going on and the whole Obama, the whole confusion that's going on in government right now. There's so many little leaks and little problems going on. And beware of little expenses. A small leak will sink a great ship. And then there's the other. Am I still on?
Sure.
Oh, okay. And then there's another one. Money and Man, a mutual friendship show. Man makes false money. Money makes man so.
Okay.
But anyway, I don't know. I had a million things to say, but just thanks for what you're doing.
Okay. Thank you, Henry. Appreciate your call. Here's Terry in Aptos. By the way, if you want to call, we do have lines open at 479-1080. So give us a shout if you want to talk to Sheriff Mack. Terry in Aptos, you're on KSCO.
Hey, Mr. Mack. I just got finished moving my family from Sedona, Arizona, up to Eugene, Oregon. And part of that, well, actually, because it was cheaper to send my daughter to college up there, but also the encroachment of crime coming across the border, Phoenix. They actually have hits going on there, coming up from Mexico. And that freaked me out totally. You know, I live in California myself, in Aptos here, very close to Santa Cruz. It's like this wave that's sweeping over the country, and people like you are the only ones that can affront that. But you're retired. Damn it, come out of retirement.
Well, I've never been so busy in my life. You know, I'm not in law enforcement anymore, but I'm certainly not retired. And I'm 57 years old. Be 58 in December.
I beat you. I'm 61.
We're not giving up. We're going to keep moving. As long as I have breath in my body, we're going to continue to stand for this great constitutional republic.
Exactly. I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I'm sort of appalled, and I'm not totally aware of everything that's going on, but there's something is wrong with this country right now. Maybe you're paying more attention to it than I am. You're retired. I have to go to work every day.
So. Hey, Sheriff Mack, Terry's right. What would you say is wrong with this country, if you could put it into a sentence or a paragraph?
Boil it down. We have sold our birthright. We have sold out our Constitution and have succumbed to the mainstream political correctness of the Republican Party and the Democrat Party. And I don't care what party you are. I really don't care. All I care about is that we follow the admonition and advocacy of the founding fathers, that we establish a government and follow a government and follow the rules of freedom and liberty that the Revolutionary War was fought for.
It's called the Constitution.
Exactly. And so if we're not going to follow the Constitution, let's just be honest about it. Quit swearing in God's name that we're going to uphold and defend the Constitution, but just come out and say, look, I'm talking about we, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, John McCain, Barack Obama, and the rest of these traitors in Washington believe that they're smarter than the founding fathers. They believe they're smarter and that their programs will benefit our country more than our Constitution. The question is, which one are we going to follow? I ask that to the hit-and-run caller or anyone else. Do you want to follow the Constitution, or do you want to follow these ideas from the mainstream political correctness that has got us where we are today? Wars, inflation, paper money, you name it, they have destroyed it.
Are you a Ron Paul supporter?
Yes, I am.
That's what I thought you'd say.
Yes.
Do you see more support for Ron Paul and for constitutionalist people
these days? I believe that that's what the entire Tea Party movement is.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily just following Ron Paul.
Uh-huh.
It's just getting back to the basics. It's getting back to the Constitution. I've talked at about 70, maybe 80 different Tea Parties across the country. And when I asked people there, I said, what really is the bottom line with your Tea Party movement here? And every time you ask, it comes back down to the very basics of American idealism. Will we follow the Constitution?
Uh-huh. And it's pretty big. So what's your prediction for the election nationwide?
You know, I'm still worried about it. First of all, I'm worried about the routine that's been happening in our country, just the pendulum swinging back and forth. We'll take, we change the names on the door, but not much really changes. Our Constitution gets degraded every year, no matter how many Republicans go in or how many Democrats go in.
Yeah.
The change and hope that we were, that a lot of people were planning on when Barack Obama got in there was just another bunch of spending, tax and spend, increase the debt, and throw money at every problem you can and make the bureaucracy bigger. If you compare the bureaucracies that Barack Obama has established and compare those to FDR, Franklin Roosevelt, trying to get us out of the Depression. Franklin Roosevelt made about 60 more bureaucracies. Barack Obama has done about 250. New ones.
Yeah, yeah.
All the czars in Washington are not going to get us back on track, and that's really the problem. All he's doing is taking care of his friends. Cronyism is Barack Obama's main mantra.
Okay, so because you're a Ron Paul supporter, I assume that if Ron Paul was running for president, you know, right now, if it was a presidential election, that he would get your vote, right?
He'd get my vote, and not
is there
only
somebody
that,
else?
I would love to be his vice president.
Oh, great! Yeah, so is there somebody else that you see on the horizon because Ron Paul is already in his 70s, I think. And
yeah, if Ron Paul doesn't run, it'll probably be Gary Johnson. Now, you probably haven't heard of him
yet.
Yeah,
I haven't heard that name.
He's the governor of New Mexico.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and he's a pretty staunch, pretty similar to Ron Paul.
Right, very interesting. Or what about Rand Paul, Ron's son?
I don't think Rand's going to run in 2012. I think he's going to maybe the 2016, but not. He won't go in 2012.
Right. Okay. Well, again, thanks for being with us a short time. That's our fault here. We were going to get you on at the top of the hour, but gave you a little more time with your grandson's
granddaughter.
Little
Janie
Pooh. Great. Well, terrific. Sheriff Richard Mack, we look forward to having you on again sometime when we have time for a lot more people to come on and ask you questions, and when we can promo it more. Continued success to you, and this program will be rebroadcast tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight, or on demand at ksco.com. Thank you, Dave, and we will be back next week.
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 12 noon. Here's Fox News.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. An arrest connected to those package bombs sent from Yemen. Let's go live to Washington for the story. And Fox News Radio's Jill Nato.
Karen, Yemen authorities say a woman's been taken into custody in connection with sending two mail bombs found on cargo planes that were bound for Chicago. A U.S. official telling Fox News Radio, investigators don't believe the woman acted alone, and they're trying to find out who else was behind the plot. They're also trying to locate the source of the explosives. Staffers at FedEx, UPS, and airport workers in Yemen are getting questioned. Also, investigators are reported to have isolated some other packages they think are suspicious. Karen?
Thanks, Jill. Even as the White House deals with that terror scare, the president's on the campaign trail in Philadelphia.
Unless each and every one of you turn out and get your friends to turn out and get your families to turn out, then we could fall short. And all the progress that we've made over the last couple of years can be rolled back.
The president about to speak in Connecticut. He'll be in Chicago later. The Tea Party is rallying, too.
We're in a suburb just outside of Columbus, and the Tea Party Express rolled into town this morning, drew a crowd of a couple hundred people, and now they've hit the road again. They're on their way to West Virginia on their cross-country tour. But the folks here today really talked about the principles that we've heard talked about in the Tea Parties across the country, those limited government ideas.
That's Fox's Molly Line reporting for us. Tropical storm Tomas is now Hurricane Tomas, the Atlantic season's 12th hurricane. The Category 1 storm is expected to get stronger as it moves towards the islands of St. Lucia and St. Vincent. The National Hurricane Center says Tomas has winds of 75 miles an hour right now. There are hurricane warnings and watches posted for a number of Caribbean islands. You're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
Stay connected to Fox News Radio for your favorite talk shows, newscasts on the hour and half hour, and the podcasts that take you a step deeper inside of Fox News. Don't miss a single minute of Your World with Neil Cavuto daily by subscribing to the Daily Podcast.
I'm Neil Cavuto.
Get news and insight on Wall Street and other market activities, and get a wrap-up of the business news of the day.
Don't tell me about federal programs that stick to their budget. They don't.
It's Cavuto when you want it. And where you want it. Subscribe now by going to foxnewsradio.com and click on the podcast button for Your World with Neil Cavuto. And check out other Fox News Radio podcasts, including John Gibson's My Word.
Hi, I'm John Gibson. You can get My Word every day for no holds barred opinion on the big stories of the day. Gibson, when and where you want at foxnewsradio.com. Just click on the podcast button.
The FBI says it's got a profile of the man it thinks is behind the gun that has taken aim at military landmarks around the nation's capital.
A former Marine, angry at the Corps or government and likely upset about a personal tragedy. That's the profile the FBI has created for a person taking aim at Northern Virginia military buildings.
The subject of his grievance does appear to be the institution of the United States Marine Corps, and not the individual men and women Marines.
FBI Washington Field Office Assistant Director John Perrin is urging the gunmen to surrender. In the last 2 weeks, gunfire has damaged the National Marine Corps Museum twice, the Pentagon, and a Marine recruiting station. All the shootings have occurred overnight. So far, no one has been hurt. In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News Radio.
The 1,700 people evacuated because of wildfire fears outside of Boulder, Colorado, are being allowed home now. Firefighters say they have the 144-acre wildfire, I should say, contained after working all night. Calm winds have helped. Pennsylvania debt collectors are accused of putting on a fake trial to get their money.
The state's Bureau of Consumer Protections filed a civil suit against UniCredit America, Inc., accusing their staffers in Erie of appearing to be sheriff's deputies delivering hearing notices to debtors, only to have them arrive in an office made to look like a courtroom. Inside that room, the company is accused of holding a fake proceeding to get the money from those who owe. The state even says that UniCredit employees called the room the courtroom. The lawsuit seeking restitution for those misled. In Harrisburg, Bob Hauer, Fox News Radio.
It is 2 years in the slammer for a former California Highway Patrol officer. Abram Cabrajal was convicted of dismissing a speeding ticket in exchange for sex. Several women testified that he would hand over his cell phone number after handing over a ticket. Karen Regal, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You've got it tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's Saturday, October 30th, 2010. I'm Dave Michaels with traffic and weather for you. Starting off with traffic at the Fishhook. Trouble-free and at the limit in both directions. On Highway 17, southbound near Summit Road, CHP warning drivers of a weather condition up there. Apparently heavy fog at the summit, so be careful if you're driving over 17. Southbound Highway 1 just north of Reservation Road, a traffic hazard reported at 1156. Looks like we have some blankets in the roadway. Highway 17 southbound just south of Crescent Drive, a traffic hazard reported at 1155. This is a stalled vehicle in the roadway. Your KSCO weather forecast for today is for more showers with highs near 66 degrees. Tonight's forecast mostly cloudy with lows around 49 degrees. Your boaters forecast for today, south winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, and west swells 4 to 6 feet every 12 seconds, along with a slight chance of showers. Outside KSCO studios, it's 56 degrees. The time is now 12:06. Time for perspectives here on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.